Superman no longer stands for truth, justice, and the American way. College students embrace diversity unless it affects their sports teams. Plus, Joe Biden gets caught violating the Washington, D.C. mask mandate. All that and more. I'm Bobby Eberle. This is a 13-Minute News Hour.
God bless the United States of America.
Okay, friends, welcome to the show. Happy Monday. I hope you had a great weekend. If you're new to the show, thank you so much for tuning in. We're going to start with a little recap from last week. I was in New York at the Newsmax studios doing a couple of appearances, and it was a great time. I was on American Agenda and National Report, and everyone there is amazing. Back over here at the 13-Minute News Hour, Joe Cozzo filled in on the Friday episode, and look at this. He even wore a tie. Joe did a great job, and I really appreciate him covering for me. Please check out his show at the link above. We both had shows on Right Side Broadcasting, and Joe is a great guy with an awesome show. Okay, since I'm now back, let's start with Superman. And as you can see from my shelf, Batman is my number one superhero, but Superman is an icon. Well, the Superman I grew up with is certainly changing, and of course, it's because the woke radical left has its hands in everything, from education, to big tech, to the media, to entertainment, to corporate boards. The left has infiltrated and worked to change the very fabric of society. It was recently announced that Superman is now bisexual. That's right, it's not enough to fight bad guys anymore. Now, superheroes have to be climate activists and social justice warriors. And for Superman, he also has to be bisexual. Here's a story. Superman is bisexual now after DC Comics announced plans to debut a same-sex relationship involving Clark Kent and Lois Lane's son, Jonathan Kent. The idea of replacing Clark Kent with another straight white savior felt like a missed opportunity, Tom Taylor, who writes the Hero series, shared in an interview with the New York Times. The writer explained the new Superman had to have new fights, real-world problems, that he could stand up to as one of the most powerful people in the world. Real-world problems? What does that even mean? And you know what the real missed opportunity is? The missed opportunity was restoring Superman to the true American icon that he was, someone who is strong, patriotic, and loves America. That's the missed opportunity. Instead, DC Comics announced that Superman is bisexual. But that was last week. DC Comics didn't stop there. Over the weekend, the company announced that more changes are coming to Superman as Superman's slogan will be changed. The iconic truth, justice, and the American way? We'll drop the American way part. We all pretty much knew that was coming. The left can't stand America. And even back in 2006, with the movie Superman Returns, we had this line.
How is this going to affect the stock market? Long term, short term, politics, does he still stand for truth, justice, all that stuff?
Truth, justice, all that stuff. That was 2006. Now, the American way is a way of the past. Instead, Superman, according to woke DC Comics, will not only be bisexual, he'll be fighting for truth, justice, and a better tomorrow. Here's a story. DC Comics, the longtime publisher of Superman comics, now says the Man of Steel stands for truth, justice, and a better tomorrow, according to a report. The change reflects a broader, more global vision for the world of Superman. Jim Lee, DC's chief creative officer and publisher, said Saturday during the company's virtual DC FanDome event, according to The Hollywood Reporter. To better reflect the storylines that we are telling across DC and to honor Superman's incredible legacy over 80 years of building a better world, Superman's motto is evolving, Lee said. Unreal. DC says it's honoring Superman's legacy by removing the American way from the slogan. How is that honoring the character or the country in any way? And I just wonder what a better tomorrow actually means to these people. The American way stands for freedom and opportunity, victory over tyranny, hope, justice, equality. That's what America stands for. That's what Superman stood for. Now, it's all about being woke. So what do you think about the new slogan? Let me know in the comments. All right, next let's talk about students and diversity quotas. But first, if you're new to the show or haven't subscribed yet, regardless of platform, just search on my name, hit that subscribe button. Make sure notifications are turned on. That way you can follow the show and help us grow. Okay, let's talk about students and diversity quotas, because the left has an interesting way of talking about fairness. It only applies to their particular interests and not the concept of fairness overall. Public school teachers are 75% women, but the left never complains about sexism in education. The NBA is 76% black, but the left never marches against racism in basketball. That notion was put to the test by the organization Campus Reform, which does a tremendous job of informing Americans about what's going on at our colleges and universities. This time, the students at the University of Florida were asked if they supported hiring practices focused on filling diversity quotas and not necessarily getting the best people in the positions.
Talking first about diversity just in general, do you think diversity should be a factor in hiring decisions and in college admissions processes?
Yeah, absolutely.
They should probably have diversity quotas for like college admissions and a bunch of other things. I think they already have quotas though, but like those are definitely a good thing.
Absolutely.
I mean, I think it's an absolute necessity.
Yeah, everyone should have an equal part in anywhere, really.
As a first-generation college student from a Hispanic household, it's very important.
Nothing surprising there. This is the typical line. When I was growing up, it was all about a colorblind society, merit over skin color. Today, kids are being told that diversity, for the sake of diversity, is somehow some kind of virtue. So then, the Campus Reform reporter sought some clarification from the students. What if a region were 35% Hispanic? Should the school in that region be 35% Hispanic? Would they support a racial quota like that?
Yeah, I would support that.
Yeah, I totally support that.
That sounds pretty reasonable.
Yeah, I think that makes sense to me.
Yeah, same. I think it definitely should be taken into account.
Absolutely. There should be more diversity in basically every single field.
Okay, they're at least being consistent, right? But then the punchline. What about that same kind of racial balancing or diversity quotas for sports teams? This is at the University of Florida. Do they want their sports teams to reflect the racial makeup of the student population?
So what about diversity quotas on sports teams, college sports teams? Do you guys think?
No, I think that should be skill-based.
Yeah, absolutely. Same thing.
Same thing. We want to win no matter like what you are.
Probably not. I feel like it should be based off talent. That's something that's a little bit different.
With sports, it's definitely more emphasis placed on ability.
Sports is different than college. Sports is not the same. I mean, talent is talent is talent is talent.
I don't think we should. Like, college sports is about like getting the best players for your team, and I don't think we should focus on which race or ethnicity to get.
I think a diversity quota for any sports team, it doesn't make much sense. It should be based on skill.
It should be based on skill? What an interesting concept. It's a concept that the students clearly understand when it comes to sports, but not when it comes to anything else. They easily understand the ideals of winning and being the best in a sports setting, but not in a business setting or education setting. Why not? The students were then shown the current racial makeup of the offense for the Florida Gators football team and the racial makeup it should be if it truly reflected the student population. The general consensus of these students was that we'd probably be losing if they focused on diversity. One bright spot is that by making this comparison, some of these students actually started to see the light.
Yeah, I think it was a good way to open your eyes and think, like, if you're recruiting athletes based on their skill level, maybe you should admit students based on their scores and their, like, academic merit more so than diversity.
Yeah, a little bit, because I didn't think about it being applied. I mean, I guess they are applied to schools, but not sports, and you could make a good argument for why my reason for school would be the same for sports, basically, yeah.
I think so. I think I really didn't think about diversity too much in like college admissions or workplace.
Yeah, I think like now that I think about it,
it's interesting to see it compared in sports like versus college admissions. So
skill always comes first. I don't necessarily think quotas are the way to go. I know they're unconstitutional. I know they're wrong. I feel like that's just counterintuitive to feel obligated to admit anybody or do anything.
Interesting that the student who is saying that quotas are unconstitutional wasn't completely embracing them at the start of the interview. But just like the left in general, quotas and diversity and inclusion will be pushed only when it suits their needs. All right, so next, as Joe Biden continues to push indoor mask requirements for vaccinated people and a federal mask mandate, guess who was seen dining out without a mask? That's right, Joe Biden. Following a long line of liberal Democrats who wear their masks only to virtue signal, like Nancy Pelosi, Rashida Tlaib, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, and Gavin Newsom, now you can add Joe Biden to the list. And here's the story. President Joe Biden and the First Lady were seen defying Washington, D.C.'s indoor mask mandate at an upscale Italian restaurant on Saturday night. Cameras caught the Bidens leaving Fiola Mare in Georgetown with masked Secret Service agents, the New York Post reported. The president was seen carrying his mask in both hands as he left the seafood restaurant overlooking the Potomac River. Jill Biden did not appear to be carrying her mask as she left. Mayor Muriel Bowser, Democrat, in July reinstated an indoor mask mandate after the Delta variant began to surge. The Bidens also ignored the restaurant's own mask policy. Since July, there's been an indoor mask mandate in D.C. That restaurant also had a mask mandate, and it's posted on the restaurant's website. Per CDC guidance and D.C. Mayor Muriel Bowser's executive order, all individuals over age 2 are required to wear a mask indoors regardless of vaccination status. Masks must also be worn while in our restaurants, except while eating and drinking. Thank you for your understanding, the restaurant says on its website. What's interesting is that the website mentions Democrat Washington, D.C. Mayor Muriel Bowser, who herself is notorious for going around without a mask while she mandates mask wearing for everyone else. Now Joe Biden is in the mix, and the video footage of him in the restaurant just reminds me of AOC at the Met Gala. She and other celebrities didn't have masks on, but the staff did. The Bidens didn't have masks on, but the Secret Service did. If you want clear examples of the optics of elitism, all you have to do is look at the real party of the rich, the woke, the elite, the Democrats, like Joe Biden, AOC, and Gavin Newsom. They just can't be inconvenienced with rules that apply to the little people. All right, so next let's talk about Facebook, because we all know that Facebook, Twitter, and other big tech giants have gone out of their way to silence conservative voices. Remember the Hunter Biden laptop story? Conservatives have been blocked, banned, and throttled. Forget talking about the 2020 elections or COVID policies. You'll get shut down. But check out what is being allowed. Facebook just admitted that posting about how to enter the country illegally is perfectly fine with them. And here's the story. Facebook has acknowledged it allows people to share information on how to immigrate illegally or be smuggled into the U.S., saying it crafted the policy to give them a shot at asylum and prevent them from relying on human traffickers. The company made the admission in a private letter to Arizona Attorney General Mark Brnovich. Mr. Brnovich asked U.S. Attorney General Merrick Garland to open an investigation into the social media giant and find a way to stop its active encouragement and facilitation of illegal entry. This is unreal. Big tech will block legitimate news stories, but here, Facebook admits that it allows posts that not only encourage lawbreaking, but shows people how to do it. On top of that, Facebook remains defiant and unapologetic about its practices. Here's more. We do allow people to share information about how to enter a country illegally or request information about how to be smuggled, wrote William Castleberry, Facebook's vice president for state public policy. He said Facebook spoke with human rights experts and figured that some illegal immigrants will try to claim asylum, which is a right under international law. Mr. Castleberry also said the company hopes that sharing information will help some migrants sneak into the country themselves rather than turning to human traffickers. And you wonder why there's a historic surge at the southern border. Joe Biden, Kamala Harris, and the entire administration want open borders. They want the country to be flooded with lawlessness. And on top of that, Facebook is helping them out. The story notes that WhatsApp, which is owned by Facebook, is the number one social media tool used by smugglers and drug cartels. The app is used to guide drivers to pickups, send updates about Border Patrol movements, and advise which routes are likely to be successful. There has to be some kind of case to be made if a company aids and abets in illegal border crossings. What do you think? should companies be allowed to help and promote and facilitate activities which break U.S. laws? Let me know in the comments. All right, friends, that's our show for today. I hope you enjoyed it. And don't forget, if you're new to the show or haven't subscribed yet, regardless of platform, just search out my name, hit that subscribe button, make sure notifications are turned on. That way you can follow the show and help us grow. Thank you so much for tuning in. Our next show is going to be Wednesday evening at the usual time, 6:30 p.m. Central. Until then, I'm Bobby Eberle. This is the 13-Minute News Hour.